But my wife loves it, so praise the Lord. Thank you, church, again, for the offering. We really do appreciate it. We have loved the privilege and the opportunity to pastor the church. It's been a dream of mine for many years to pastor, and I was raised under a good pastor, Pastor Kelly Sinareski, and you know, he told me years ago, he said, Drew, the Lord is going to do great things with you if you'll just give your life to him and fully submit. And I'm so thankful that I had men in my life that encouraged me to do right. You know, you should go back and tell the people thank you that have encouraged you to do right in your life. But thank you again, church. We're loving every minute of it, and Lord willing, I can die here or retire here. Whatever comes first, I'm here for the long haul. And I'm thankful that you're behind us and with us. And I'm just very grateful that the Lord has given us the opportunity to serve here. If you have your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter number 9. We have some very important business to take care of here in a little bit. I'm so thankful for the souls that have been saved already. You know, here's what I like about this. Had they never been baptized, they still could have went to heaven. Everybody okay with that? Baptism don't save them. All it is an act of obedience. Your Savior got baptized. If Jesus had not been baptized, would he still have went to heaven? How about the thief on the cross when Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? I never read where the thief came off the cross and got baptized. That didn't happen, but Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So this is nothing more than an act of obedience unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we'll get to that later. Luke chapter number 9. This morning I want to talk about, I know there's some lost people here, I'm sure, in a crowd like this, you know, there's probably somebody that don't know the Lord, but this message can apply to lost people, and it can apply to saved people as well. Luke chapter 9 and verse 22, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, now thank you for the many people that are here today. Lord, thank you for the families of the young people that are here. I love it, Lord, that they're here to support their daughters and their sons. It's a good thing to look out and see families in church, Lord. I'm hopefully, Lord, they're not here to hear me. I want them to hear from you this morning. I want your Holy Spirit to convict and lead and guide into all truth. Lord, bind the devil off this place now. Bind him off this property. We don't want him anywhere near here. Cover this place with your blood. Cover the hearts and minds of your people this morning, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Cleanse me of sin, Lord, and empty me of self. Now, God, as I begin to relay a message that you've given me to your people, let them hear from heaven this morning, and Lord, we'll be thankful and praise and honor you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 9, when you're there, say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, we'll read down through verse number 27. The Bible says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Aren't you thankful Jesus did not stay dead? I'm thankful he was raised the third day by his own power. Amen? And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, here it is, church, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Or be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. So this morning, church, a simple message, nothing new under the sun. We know that. The Bible teaches us that. But what must I do to follow Jesus? And I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about after you're saved. First of all, you better be saved if you're going to follow Jesus. That's the most important thing. But what must I do to follow Jesus? Number one, you must understand the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know, you've heard it since you were... How many grew up in church? I mean, we're in the Bible Belt. Most people here would say I probably grew up in church somewhere. And you've heard from such a little child that Jesus Christ died for your what, church? Sins. You heard that he was buried, and you heard that he raised again on the third day, and that's where the resurrection power comes from. But here's the deal, folks. Did you know that Jesus really did do what we're talking about? Jesus really did die for our sins. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story that we like to tell. It's because of my sin and my wrong and my shame and your sin and your wrong and your shame that Jesus had to die. Amen? He had to, or you wouldn't have stood a chance. So he did die. And did you know that Jesus really was buried? He was buried in a borrowed tomb. It was borrowed for a reason, because he only needed it for a few days. Amen? If this really did happen, this is no fairy tale. And folks, here's the best part about it. Jesus really did, through the power of God, raise himself up out of that grave and ascend into heaven, where he's sitting today at the right hand of the Father, waiting for God to look at him and tell him to go down and get his bride, which is us, the church. All of this stuff really did happen. It is not a fairy tale that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Amen. You got to understand and know that to be true if you're going to be a follower of Jesus. This stuff is not made up. This book is real. Every single word of it is profitable, and it's good for you. Amen. It did happen. What else must I do? I must deny myself. This means I must lay aside all that makes me and my flesh feel good. Folks, there's many of us sitting right here today that are here because you want to be here. Some of you may be here because you were guilted into coming here. But let me tell you this, regardless, you should never put anything before the things of God. God tomorrow could take away your excuses for not serving him. He gave you every good thing, and every perfect thing cometh down from the Father of lights. Read the book of James. There's nothing good that you have that's because of you, because in your flesh, in this flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You don't have the ability in and of yourself to do anything good. God has the ability to do good. You must learn to deny yourself. Paul looked in the mirror and he said, I die daily. Why? What is he? Not a physical death, but he's dying to his flesh and his fleshful desires. He understood that there were some former things that he used to partake of that no doubt the devil still tempted him with. I'm sure if you'd be honest, you'd say, hey, the devil knows my past, God knows my past, and I'm trying to live right, and constantly the devil is throwing those things in my face, trying to bring those things back to life. But listen, God said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Folks, we've got to learn to deny ourselves. And it's hard because it's all about me. No, it's not about you. That's why you haven't had the joy of your salvation restored unto you. It's nothing about you. It never was about you. It's never going to be about you. Let me tell you something. It's all about our Savior. All about Jesus. Nothing in and of ourselves is good. By denying myself and heeding to the word of God, can I tell you the devil's going to attack you? Folks, if the devil's attacking you, you're doing something right. I told a lady just this week, I said, listen, something you can always rest assured in, because the devil is fighting, you must be trying to do something right. The devil's never going to fight someone. It's like having a tug of war with someone that's on your team. It doesn't make sense. Why would the devil fight you if you're not doing anything right? If you're doing wrong, if all your thoughts are evil continually, what's the devil got to tempt you with? He's got you right where he wants you. But folks, when you're trying to do right, he's going to fight you. He's going to tempt you. Husbands, he's going to tempt you. Wives, he's going to tempt you. Children, he's going to tempt you to disobey your parents. And listen, he's going to fight. He's the devil. That's his job. He's going to do it. But you've got to deny yourself. But I must understand, God and his grace are so much greater than the temptation to sin. Amen. Look at Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 20. Romans 5 and verse 20. We'll read down through the end of the chapter there in verse 21. You've got to understand that God and his grace are so much greater than the temptation to sin. Folks, I like this. Moreover, the law entered and the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what that means? Every time you make the excuse, well, the devil made me do it, well, he made me do it. Let me tell you something. If you are a saved man, woman, boy or girl, none other, man, woman, boy or girl. If you're saved in here today and you have the Holy Spirit of God, and if you're saved, you do have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, there's never going to be a time that the devil's going to tempt you where the Holy Spirit of God's presence is not going to be greater than the presence of the evil around you. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. You're going to do it because you want to do it. You're not going to do it because God didn't show up. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's pretty self-explanatory. God has whipped the devil, and the devil is still whipped, folks. He has a final destination. It's a lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And can I tell you this? That's your destination if you do not know Jesus and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to tell you this. Your works aren't going to get you there. Your money ain't going to get you there. You being a good dad ain't going to get you there. You being here on Sunday morning is not going to get you there. You have to believe on the name of the Son of God and thou shalt be saved. If you have not done that, you have a destination. Amen. And by the way, it's called hell. And it's real. It's just as real as Jesus dying and being buried and raising himself up out of that grave. That's how real hell is today. And it's hot. It's going to get hotter. Listen, it's never going to end. It's a place of eternity. Here's the good news for you. You're going to live forever somewhere. Amen. Folks, it ain't going to be just die and go to hell and it'll just be over. Many people have this preconceived thought, well, there's no life after death. Then that Bible's a lie. Folks, there is. You have a never dying soul. A never dying soul. And I would hate to be in a church service like this and hear the gospel and know that I need Jesus. And know that hell was not created for me. See, when hell was created, it was created a certain size. The Bible teaches that it enlarges itself. Why? Because people that were not created to go there are dying and going there every single day by choice. Because they rejected God. And they rejected a free gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Folks, that's for you. Amen. It's for me. Hey, I'm thankful the shepherd called me. She just sang about it. Amen. Aren't you thankful that when you look around in a world that's so big, you know, we're not much in this world, are we? No. But hey, you know something? God thought different. We were a whole lot to him. And I'm so thankful for the day that he reached out and tugged on my heart. And his Holy Spirit convicted me. And I'll be honest, I said no to the Lord for 2.5 years. I was 7 years old the very first time I knew that if I died, I was going to go to hell. And I spent 2.5 years knowing if I died as a little boy, I'd have split hell wide open. I was 9.5 years old at a VBS on June 15th, 1999. Actually, 2000. 9 years old. Friday afternoon, the last day of VBS, I finally stepped out and gave the Lord my life. And I got saved that day. And can I tell you something? I've been saved ever since. Now, I hadn't done right ever since, but I've been saved ever since. But folks, we got to learn to deny ourselves. Denying myself will keep me out of a lot of trouble here on this earth. I'm going to tell you a story about denying yourself. We were in Alaska, and it gets from about May until September, it hardly ever rains. In Seward, it's just dry. Pretty rare. We went last summer, or 2 summers ago when we were there, it rained one day out of 120 days straight. One day. A lot of wildfires happened there where we were under a statewide burn ban, and my kids were out, and we had did some cleaning up. We had built a treehouse, and we had a bunch of scrap wood out there, and you guys can see where this is going. We put it in the fire pit, and I said, listen, we cannot burn this right now. We cannot be playing with fire. They even went inside. I went to work that morning, and they went inside, and they said, Mom, can we start a fire in the fire pit? Mom said, absolutely not. We're on a burn ban. We can't start a fire. Well, something happened, and something happened. They didn't deny themselves. Not only did they play with fire, but listen, they went into the shed. They got a can of gasoline, and this is getting good. There's some spruce trees over top of our fire pit, and they hang pretty low. And keep in mind, it's dry. I mean, real dry. Next door, thank the Lord, there was a man in our church working. He's a painter, and he just so happened to be right next door and come out and see what was going on. Well, they poured that gas on that thing, and they struck a match, and whoo, it went off. And I'm talking about when it went off, everything went off. The trees were catching on fire. The leaves were burning. It was fishing to get into the neighbor's yard. The treehouse was just inches away from catching on fire, and then our boat shed was right there, and then our house was right there. And Cassidy ran inside and said, Mom, there's a fire. They stretched the water hose out, didn't reach over there, so what do? They start getting buckets, and they're trying to put this thing out. Thank the Lord, the man next door walked out and seen what was going on. And you talk about, and now, this is the one time that I probably would be okay with someone, let's just put it like this, he lost it on my boys. And I didn't blame him for it. I mean, he was angry. He was very angry. He may have said a couple of things that he shouldn't have said, but he got their attention real quick. I'm not gonna get there. But I went to him later. I said, "Hey, Wayne, thanks for doing that, man." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Thanks for scaring my kids." He said, "Man, I didn't know what else to do." He said, "They're about to burn down the whole neighborhood." So, thank the Lord, we got it under control. But look, you know what they didn't do? They didn't deny themselves, folks. Listen, little lions become big lions, and big lions always kill. That's how sin works. It starts with maybe just you knowing what's going on. But can I tell you this? It's never just you. There's an all-knowing, all-powerful God in heaven that knows what you're doing. And there's a devil that knows what you're doing. Hey, guys, just because your wife don't know, don't make it right. Amen. Ladies, just because your husband don't know, don't make it right. Parents, just because your children don't know, it don't make it right. Children, just because mom and dad don't know yet, hey, be sure your sin will find you out, is what the Bible says. And let me tell you something. It started with just the thought of building a fire. And pretty soon, it got out of control. But listen, sin will always make you pay more than you want to pay. It will take you further than you want to go. And it'll make you stay longer than you want to stay. Sin is very real. It's very dangerous. And it's nothing to play with, folks. We've got to understand that little lions become big lions, and big lions always kill, right? So if there's something in your life today that you need to that God is convicting you, the Holy Spirit has said, look, He's talking about it right now, and you need to get rid of that thing, folks. Don't mess around with it, because this time next year, you might be begging God to keep your family together. You might be begging your wife to please don't leave. You might be begging your husband, please don't leave. Children, don't let the devil win. Let's learn to deny ourselves. Number three, this one's important to me. I must learn to take up my cross daily. By taking up my cross daily, I must understand and accept the cards of life that I've been dealt. There was a family that came to our church years ago. I was a youth pastor. This was probably 2016 or 17 when they came in. They had four kids. My wife babysat the youngest one. She wasn't in the teen group, but the two older boys and the older daughter were in our youth group. And I began to get to know them. I began to hear their stories. Those boys spent a lot of time at my house. That young lady spent a lot of time with my wife. And the more I learned about them, I could relate to them. I could tell there was some hurt going on, you know, that these boys were hurt. And I said, man, tell me your story. And they sat down one at a time, and I listened to their story. And what happened is, Dad was in the Army, and I mean, Dad, he was in the Army, and thank the Lord he was able to be home most of the time, but he got deployed. And when he got deployed, at that time the kids were 7, 5, and 4. And when he got deployed, Mom got caught up with the wrong crowd. She started messing around with other men. She got on drugs. She would leave once the kids got stable at night. They'd get out of school, and she'd lock the door, and she'd leave those kids home alone. And all night they'd be gone, and they'd tell me stories about how they had no food. We're talking 7, 5, and 4 year olds. Those two boys would take their little sister. There was a restaurant right next door. They had to climb over this fence. And he said, Brother Drew, me and my brother, we used to climb over that fence and dig in those dumpsters when those lights went off, just so we could feed our little sister at nighttime. Folks, listen. Do you think that woman ever wanted sin to take her that far? Today, let me tell you the good part about the story. I was able to tell them, folks, guys, that wasn't God. That was the devil seeking to steal, kill, and destroy your family. And I began to show them and explain to them my childhood and how I grew up. You know, my mom and dad weren't always present. I desired to have a relationship with both of them, but I just never did. I have a relationship with both of them today, but really and truly, it wasn't God's design for any of that stuff to ever happen. That was all the devil. And I began to explain to them that God's grace is sufficient. And I began to explain to them that they don't need to be bitter at God. And we went to a youth rally up in Chugiak. By this time, these boys are, I think, 16 and 17. And we went to a youth rally on a Friday night, and the invitation was given, and I watched the youngest boy walk out. And he came to me, and he said, "Brother Drew, I can't do this anymore." He said, "I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be mad at God. I don't want to be mad at my mom." He said, I want to be saved. And I got to lead him to the Lord. And I kid you not, a month later, I coached football also. We're on a football trip to Fairbanks. That's a 12-hour bus ride, for those of you who don't know. A bus ride for 12 hours. And the oldest brother came and sat next to me. He said, "Drew," he said, "I know you're not supposed to be talking about this on bus rides." He said, "But if I ask you questions, you're allowed to answer, right?" I said, "Yeah. And if I ain't, I'll get fired. I don't care." He said, "My brother got saved a month ago," and he said, "I've been thinking a whole lot about it." And man, he started tearing up. He said, "I just don't know how my mother deserves forgiveness." And I got to walk him through it. I said, "The truth is, buddy, you don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve forgiveness. But let me tell you something. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I explained to him how wicked really and truly. Because here's the deal. You're never going to convince someone their need of salvation until they realize they're lost. They've got to understand that they are lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. Or they're not going to see their need for a Savior. And when I got him to that point, you could just see the Lord convicting him. And he began to cry. That boy got saved on that bus ride up to Fairbanks. 2 months later, his dad approached me. Now he's lost. He said, "Hey, Pastor had mentioned we needed another bus driver to help drive the teenagers. This man had a CDL, had a passenger endorsement." He said, "What do you think about me driving the bus?" I said, "Hey, I think that'd be great. Let's go talk to the preacher about it." And the preacher said, "Okay, well, we need another bus driver." So he started driving the youth rallies on the bus. Kid you not, can't make this stuff up, folks. This is how good God is. Cannot make this stuff up. This is how God took somebody's worst case scenario and just transformed everything. We're driving to the youth rally. We get there that night. The preacher's preaching. Invitation's given. And I see the man's hand go up when the preacher asks the question. Man, I begin to weep. I'm telling you, I lost it. I was ecstatic. Like, man, he gets it. He finally gets it. I said, "I'm not going to go to him. I want to let him come to me." And he did. He got out of his chair. He walked to the back. I was sitting on the back row. He said, "Man, we need to go talk." Man, I got to lead him to the Lord that night. Folks, look, the devil designed for that family to die bitter. Now, the young lady to this day, as far as I know, has never been saved. I wish I could tell you she had, but she flat believes her mom just does not deserve anything. Her forgiveness, her nothing. She's angry, she's bitter, but folks, that's where the devil wants her to be. But I'm thankful that God is rich in mercy. I'm thankful that the daddy and the two boys now are heaven bound. Amen? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful they decided to take up that cross. That cross was the cards that God dealt them. You think about, you think your cross is hard? Think about Jesus' cross. Folks, they had to have someone help him carry it. Amen. Y'all remember that? Is that Bible? Yes. Now, he probably could have done it. Don't get me wrong, he's God. But he didn't. Someone helped him carry that thing. Yes. It was a heavy cross. It wasn't just the weight of the wood. Folks, it was the weight of each and every one of your sins on his shoulders going up that hill to Calvary. That's a lot of weight. Yeah. Folks, if it just would have been my sin, old Simon still would have had to help him carry it. And guess what? He still would have carried it. He carried it for your sins. Today, I wonder, Miss Barb's going to come and play a song of invitation. Just as I am would be good. I wonder if you're in here today and you realize that the weight of your sin has been carried to the cross, which, by the way, it has been, whether you realize that or not. Your sin has been paid for. But I wonder this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no looking around, Please, no looking around. Let the Lord have his will and way in this invitation time. Listen, this altar's open, but I'm going to ask a couple questions. I just want you to be honest. I'm not going to call you out. I promise I'll never, ever, ever embarrass you. I won't do that. Miss Barb's going to start playing here. And I wonder this morning if God has convicted you. I wonder if you would be honest and just say, Brother Drew, if I were to die right now, I do not know that I would spend eternity in heaven, but I sure would like to know. I would love for someone to take the Bible and show me how I can know that I'm going to go to heaven. Is there someone in here like that that would just raise their hand and let me pray for you? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to move. I just want to pray for you. There's one, two, three. Listen, four. I see your hands. Listen to me. This altar's open. I'm right here. If you want to talk to somebody, let me tell you something. I can get some men at the back of the church right now, and I can go back there myself. I'd be glad to take you one-on-one and show you in the Bible how you know that you know that you know that you can be saved. Listen, if that was you and you raised your hand, if you want somebody to take a Bible, just step up out of your seat right now, walk to the back, and we'll get somebody with you. Here's your opportunity right now. There you go. There's one. There's two. Praise the Lord. God can save three just like he can save two. Listen, don't walk out of here and let the devil have his way with you. I'll be back there in just a minute, fellas. Do not let that happen. Anybody else? You don't want to die and go to hell. Because I'm going to tell you something. Hell's hot. Heaven's real, though. God's grace is sufficient. Heavenly Father, I ask you now to have your will and your way in this time of invitation, Lord, as we began to talk to these men back here, Lord, I ask you to let the Bible reveal itself to them, the truth. I ask you, God, to have your will and your way in this next hour of this baptismal service. Lord, we're going to stand and sing Just As I Am. And Lord, I thank